Hello, fellow story champions. My name is Simon Brooks. Welcome to Lindyline, a story podcast. Here you will find old stories, some written by the likes of Kipling and Robert Louis Stevenson, ancient folk and fairy tales retold for a modern audience of families, and original short stories I have penned myself. I'll be retelling some of the classic folk and fairy tales, and some of the stories you may not be familiar with. I'll be taking you around the world with these tales, and there may be some history too. You never know. Are you comfortable? Then sit back and listen. Once, when all creatures could understand one another, and the realm of magic was apparent as the clouds in the sky, and the fae were still seen sprinkling fairy dust into the eyes of those who were to see them. In those long ago times, there were stories. Are you comfortable? Then sit back and listen.
Hello, how are you? We're in the middle of the winter holidays, and there are so many celebrations going on. Hanukkah is going on right now. It lasts 8 days. Diwali, the Hindu festival of lights, passed by in November. That lasts over 5 days. Kwanzaa is coming up, 6 days of that, and so is Christmas, the one-day holiday, and the Shinto holiday, and I hope I pronounced this correctly, Hatsumodi, is celebrated on the first of the year. What do you celebrate? The story I'm going to share with you today is a story that comes from Japan, where the faith of Shinto comes from. It's called The Bowl-Wearing Princess. This is a story about a princess. But was she really a princess? I don't think so. They also say that there was a stepmother, but there wasn't. This is the tale of the bowl-wearing maiden. They say that once upon a time, there was a family, a mother, father, and daughter, who were somewhat well off, not rich and not poor. The mother and father slowly saw their fortune dwindle away, no matter what they did, no matter how hard they worked, and that can happen to anyone. They did not lose their manners, and were always gracious to each other and those who came into contact with them, despite the straits they were in. Then, to make matters worse, the father grew sick and died, leaving the mother and daughter alone to fend for themselves. Now, things were different back then. It was harder for a woman to find work, and it was easier to be taken advantage of, if you were a woman, back then. So for a while, the mother and daughter worked hard, and made ends meet. But the mother one day knew it was time for her to meet her husband. "Come to me, child. We have worked together for a long time, you and I, and we have done well together. But I am old, like your father. I will pass from this earth, and I worry will what become of you." "Mother, don't say that." The daughter was beside herself, thinking she would lose both of her parents. "Leaving you alone in this world worries me a great deal, and I have thought long and hard about it. Not all the purity of a flower can prevent it from being plucked and dragged into the mud. You have a good face, a lovely face, a face like a flower." The old woman pointed to her chest. "In there is a wooden bowl. Go and get it for me, darling." The child went and found a black bowl and held it up. "Yes, that's it. It's heavy. Is it ebony?" The daughter handed the lacquered bowl to her mother, who placed it on her daughter's head. "This will hide your face so people won't see you. Promise me you won't take it off. Let the bowl protect you when I am gone." "Of course, mother. If you endure this, then you will be rewarded." And it wasn't much later before the girl's mother died. The girl placed the bowl on her head as her mother had asked, and continued to work in the rice fields as she had in the past. She worked hard and quickly to make ends meet. It was not easy. She missed her parents, the work was tough, and people began to make fun of her wearing the bowl on her head. Young men tried to peek beneath, but usually her face was well hidden as she bowed down to her work, and shadows were cast from the bowl. Some people made fun of her, but she never took the bowl from her head. Some uncouth, rude young men once tried to knock the bowl off, and when it didn't fall, attempted to take it off, but it seemed to moan and stayed right where it was. So they laughed and teased the girl. She remained patient, and it made her heart heavy. But she thought of the love she had for her parents and the words of her mother, that if she could endure this, then she would be rewarded. And the girl continued to work hard. She had money to feed herself and was able to look after her home and keep clothes on her back. The owner of the rice fields was a rich man and paid what he believed was a fair wage. He would travel around the fields and see the work being done and noticed the bowl-wearing girl. He saw how hard she worked, her diligence and quick fingers. Unlike some others, she kept her head bent down to the task. She did not gossip or shirk from her work. He began to visit and watch her, and when the harvest was picked, he offered her a job at his house. The rich man had a wife who was unwell, and thought the maiden, the young girl, could help look after her and keep her company. The girl could not believe her luck. She was paid a little more and looked after well. They gave her new clothes to wear, and as time passed, the rich couple began to look at the girl as their own daughter. As the new year was getting closer, their son, the son of this wealthy couple, returned home from Kyoto. He was fed up with life in the city, the hustle and bustle, the noise, and he yearned to be back in the country. "Who is this girl that looks after mother? The one with a bowl on her head? Does she ever take it off?" "Since she came to look after me, son, she has become like a daughter to us. She lost her parents and worked in our fields. She is hard working and such good company for me. But what about the bowl on her head? It's a bit strange, is it not?" The young man could not help but smile as he said this. The girl made a promise to her mother to wear the bowl, to protect her from prying eyes and from harm. "Well, I want to talk to her and make sure she's all right." So the young man went and spoke to the bowl-wearing girl, and he enjoyed their conversation. In fact, he started to meet with her often, every once in a while trying to see the maiden's face. As with others who tried to look, she would bow her head lower in humility. But the more time he spent with the girl, the more other people in the household talked. Instead of praising the girl, they began to say mean and spiteful things about her. "What does she think she's doing, talking to the young lord all the time? She's a mere servant girl." The more the young man spoke to the girl, the more he saw how smart she was, how she had impeccable manners, and she was funny and made him laugh. Was it really the girl who was going to talk to the lord, or was it the lord who sought out the girl? Still, people talked and talked until the mother began to say things about the girl behind her back. And when the young lord spoke to his parents and told them he wanted to marry the girl, you cannot imagine what people said about that. Or maybe you can. This broke the heart of the young girl, for she felt the same way about the young man. She was in love. Although he had not told her about his feelings, she had heard from rumours that were being spread. However, the rich lord liked the idea of his son marrying the maiden, no matter what the others said. He seemed to know their hearts, although, not wanting to cause any more trouble, he kept his thoughts to himself. "Oh, such a beggar girl," other family members said, "thinking she can rise above her rank and station. Doesn't she know her place?" Even the other servants said that she was scheming. But the young man was dauntless and kept visiting the girl until his parents, well, his mother, relented, and it was agreed that despite everything they could be married. The young lord told the bowl-wearing girl, and she burst into tears. "I cannot marry you. I am just a servant girl in your father's house. It would be unseemly for me to marry you." "But it's all over. We can marry. It's been agreed." The young girl in her heart knew that they could never be happy with the family and servants feeling the way they did. That night she lay in bed weeping. Rather than cause such trouble in the house, driving a rift between the young man and his mother, causing strife in the house, she would leave. But as she slept that night, vowing to get up early in the morning, her own mother came to the girl in a dream. "Don't leave. let your good heart be strong. You will not be troubled any more. Marry the Lord's son. All will be well. When she woke in the morning, her heart was filled with light. The dream had seemed so real, it was as if her mother had been sitting at the foot of the bed talking to her. She had felt her mother's hands stroke her face, and when the young lord came again and begged her to marry him, she said, "But you have never seen my face. What if I am ugly? Would you still marry me then?" "It is not your face I am marrying, it is you, all of you. I will not ask you to remove the bowl until you are ready to do so, and I will marry you if you will marry me. But I have no dowry. I have no gift for your family. I don't care. All that matters is that I can spend the rest of my life with you." "I will marry you." She bowed low, leaving the bowl upon her head, and still the young lord was overjoyed with her answer and ran off to tell his parents. He could not see the joyous smile that was on her face, nor the tears that fell from her eyes. Everyone began to get ready for the marriage. It was to take place before the new year came in. Preparations were made, a new dress was ordered, food prepared, guests invited. There was such hustle and bustle within the house, it seemed even the furniture was moving about of its own accord, and still the girl kept the bowl on her head. The wedding day arrived, and she was dressed, but when it was time to remove the bowl to make up her hair, the bowl would not come off. The maids who were dressing the girl told her to take it off, but it wouldn't remove itself. The girls tried to take it off, but the more they pulled, the more the bowl seemed to stick hard, and then it groaned and pulled the girl's hair. "Stop, please stop, it seems the bowl will stay here for the rest of my life." It didn't take long for the word to spread, but the young lord said he would marry her, even if the bowl was stuck on her head, or if it wasn't. So the wedding continued. As is part of the wedding tradition, a glass was brought to the bride and groom, and they were to drink 3 times 3 for the marriage to be fulfilled. On the 9th time the glass was lifted, the bowl fell from the girl's head and shattered on the floor. Everyone looked to see. From the broken pieces of the bowl came jewels and gems and gold coins. The young lord and girl, they did not care, nor look more than a glance as they kissed each other. And so I left, and now I am here, and this is all I can tell you. I really like that story, and I used to tell it quite a bit, but stopped for some reason, and I have not told that story in a long time. So have you ever been picked on or bullied? I was when I was a kid at school. Not so much now that I'm an adult. Sometimes people make fun of my British accent, which, to be honest, is more mid-Atlantic than British these days. But it would be nice to find a bowl filled with gems and jewels, wouldn't it? But I am sure that although money helps, it does not bring happiness. What brings you happiness? My dog Mo brings me a lot of happiness, until she's whining. I don't like whining. And our cat Miley, she brings me happiness, especially when she curls up on my lap and purrs really loudly. My wife and kids bring me joy and happiness, even more so when we go on adventures. Why don't you drop me a line and tell me about some of the things that bring you joy? Send a photo or drawing of you with your favourite bowl on your head. Well, thanks for listening. I do hope you've enjoyed this episode. By simply subscribing and telling your friends about this podcast will help. Also, please leave a review on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to this, as it helps others find great stories. Most podcasters have advertisers. I don't. If you want to drop the price of a dog biscuit for Mo and the cost of a cup of tea for me, that would be lovely. It's hungry work out in the woods. You can also become a patron and pay as little as a dollar to as much as you think it was worth. If you want to become a patron, go to www.patreon.com/Simon Brooks. There you will get extra resources and other goodies too, including the occasional photo or two of Mo my wonderful rescue dog, and photos of our adventures together. Hashtag in the woods with Mo.
Once, when all creatures could understand one another, and the realm of magic was as apparent as the swords worn, there were stories. I hope you enjoyed today's story. This is where my telling ends.